Hello, Florida Bar members and Florida registered paralegals. This is a quick reminder from the Standing Committee on Mental Health and Wellness of Florida Lawyers that you are approved to use the Florida Lawyers Helpline, a completely free and confidential around-the-clock helpline designed to support you in managing the challenges of both your personal and professional life. By dialing 833-FL1-WELL or 833-351-9355, you can connect with mental health professionals who are ready to assist you. Take advantage of up to 5 complimentary in-person or telehealth counseling sessions annually, and remember, there's no limit to the number of calls you can make. Reach out today.
You're listening to the Florida Bar Podcast, brought to you by the Florida Bar's Practice Resource Center, Legal Fuel. Produced by the broadcast professionals of the Florida Bar.
Welcome to the Florida Bar's Legal Fuel podcast, brought to you by the Practice Resource Center of the Florida Bar. We're so glad you're joining us. This is Christine Bilbrey. I'm the director of the Practice Resource Center. And today, I'm joined by my practice management teammates, Autumn Chadwell and Jamie Moore.
Our goal at the Practice Resource Center is to assist Florida attorneys with running the business side of their law practices. We focus on a different topic each month and carry the theme through our website with related tips, videos, and articles.
In 2025, the Florida Bar turned 75, and we now serve over 115,000 lawyers around the state. Comprised of 6 divisions and 20 departments, the Bar has numerous services to assist members, but it can be overwhelming if you don't know where to look or who to reach out to.
So today, we will be discussing the departments and services available to Florida Bar members and how each can help you maintain your practice, help you understand the rules and requirements to keep you out of the discipline process, and even save you some money.
Often confused with the Florida Board of Bar Examiners, the Florida Bar does not administer the bar exam or review applications to become an attorney. A member's relationship with the Florida Bar begins after they have passed the bar exam and have been sworn in.
And we're throwing that in because we do get a lot of calls at our department from people that have passed the bar exam, but we don't know they exist because until we get their information sent over, or our members of long-term want their bar exam score or their files and stuff. So we're just letting everyone know we don't have any of that. All we know is once you've joined us.
Absolutely. I had a call just this morning from somebody who had submitted a form for name change whenever they applied to the Florida Bar back in the 90s. And they wanted to know if we had a copy. And I was like, no, I'm so sorry. You have to reach out to the Florida Board of Bar Examiners because before
Correct.
You were an attorney, we don't know anything about
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Well, changing gears here from that. So we recently did a podcast entitled The Florida Bar's Lawyer Regulation Department, Common Issues, Misconceptions, and Best Practices. That was a very informative podcast, so be sure to check that one out if you haven't already listened to that. It was very in-depth conversation on just that particular department. One thing that we didn't get a chance to discuss in that episode was inventory lawyers, and this is an important subject on its own, and we get a lot of phone calls in our department about this as well. So Autumn, can you tell us and tell our listeners what is involved with inventory lawyers, why it's important? What do our listeners need to know?
Absolutely. So the requirement to have an inventory lawyer was put into effect by the Supreme Court on January 1st, 2006. So about 20 years ago, this went into effect. And it just says that all Florida Bar members who practice in Florida are required to designate an inventory attorney. Now, Florida Bar members can only appoint another Florida Bar member to be their inventory attorney. And basically, this is someone who is able to take possession of a bar member's files in the event that that member dies, is disbarred or suspended, if they become delinquent, if they get called up for military service, any situations such as these. The inventory attorney is not required to represent any clients. They will mostly review the files to determine which clients need services. They can give the file to the clients if they need to find substitute counsel, or they can make a referral to substitute counsel.
And there's, we know that when you're a brand new attorney, you may not have someone to designate. And so, the bar realizes that, but it's good to find somebody, whether it's in your firm or someone you just know in your practice area in your town. But we literally get calls about this every single week. And I know someone, when an attorney is deceased, the spouse calls and they want to, things like, they think the trust account belongs to the estate of the deceased attorney, and we have to explain, no, you can't do anything with that. It's going to have to be the inventory lawyer. But everyone should have an inventory lawyer, and there's we go into online. You can see if you're a judge or a government attorney, you know, you won't need this. But you do need to designate, and then when we get these calls, it's lawyer regulation that has the list of who. And the other thing, when you're agreeing to be an inventory attorney, if at that moment in time that you actually are needed, you don't have to accept it. It's kind of like being the guardian of someone's children. You've been designated. If you're able to do it, great. But the bar can appoint people to do it if that person declines.
Absolutely. And even if you only have one client, it's definitely necessary to designate an inventory attorney. And this is really just so that clients don't fall through the cracks, that they can still be taken care of in the event that their attorney is unable to help them at that time.
Absolutely.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
And if they don't have one, I mean, people are still going to call and check to see. And in that event,
yes,
the bar, as you mentioned, will... Mm-hmm. Contact one of the branch offices, depending on where you live, I guess, and just
exactly
get that assigned. Yeah.
And again, you'll contact lawyer regulation. They can be reached at 850-561-5839, or you can email lrinfo@floridabar.org, and Florida is spelled out, and they'll be happy to help.
Excellent.
Let's move on to one of the departments that our members will reach out to the most, which is membership records. Jamie, what kinds of issues can membership records help with?
Well, number one, bar cards. We get a lot of calls about bar cards. So you typically get that bar card when you get your new member packet. And I know a lot of people have them for decades. And then eventually maybe they get washed or lost or whatever. But anyhow, that's easy to get replaced here. But call membership records and they can get that to you. Also, special designations such as, you know, inactive status, active status, retirement, all of that, they can help with those questions. There's different things that need to be completed for that, especially for the retirement portion. If you have updates to your bar profile, you can do that through the member portal, you know, such as your address and things like that. But sometimes, you know, there might be a glitch or whatever, but give them a call. They can assist with that, especially if you... maybe you work from home. We get this question. I work from home, but I don't want to list my home address, you know, on the public facing part. Membership records can assist with that.
Because the bar needs a physical address for you, even if that's not what you're using with the public. And so you won't be able to do that through the portal, right?
Right, exactly. So I do know there's ways for them to kind of put that on the background. And maybe you have some like a PO box or something like that that's on your public facing profile. If you're having issues logging into your member portal, maybe it's been a long time, the password is expired, or you don't remember your username, give them a call. They can help reset that for you. Also, anything related to fee statements. So if you have questions about that, any portion with that, give them a call and they can certainly assist. So let's talk more about the member portal. Christine, can you just share with our members what they can do, you know, through the portal?
Yeah, and I think people are surprised at how many self-serve things that you can do through the portal. And then the flip side, I'm always surprised that we have tons of members who didn't know they had a portal and never logged in. So if you are at this point, you should be tech-savvy enough that please log into the member portal and check it out, because you can get to quite a few things. The free legal research, VLEX Fast Case, you've got to go through the portal to access that. You can pay your annual fees online. The big one is reporting your own CLE credit. And we get this question 5 times a day, I think. People watch our free Legal Fuel CLEs or listen to our podcasts, and they are like, where's my certificate? They're so used to that when they go in person. If you use the course number and you're a Florida Bar member, you can log into your portal and report your own credits. It's magic. Every once in a while, there's still a little glitch. Someone will say, oh, I tried to put in my credits. It didn't take it, because you can't report the same course twice. Sometimes in the, you know, over a 3-year span, you may have forgotten that you already watched that video. But you can also see what credits you need. It's a good way to keep up to date with that. To get to the Florida Lawyers Helpline, which I'm going to talk more about later, if you want to just do it without calling in, There's a link on the left-hand side also. So all of the external links you're going to find on the left-hand side of the portal. So that's the free legal research, the Florida Lawyers Helpline. That's where you're going to find it. Hover over that and you can go in and set up an online account. And I'm going to beat this to death probably in every podcast, but you should be using your 5 free therapy sessions. We don't know who does that. We just pay for them. And every calendar year, each bar member and every Florida registered paralegal is going to get those 5 therapy sessions. Plus, it's a 24-hour hotline that you can talk to a mental health professional. Okay, so like Jamie said, you can pay your annual fees in there. If you want to be on a Florida Bar Standing Committee, when that opens up, there's going to be a box that pops up at the top after you log in. It's usually a pink box, and that is your committee preference form. And so you list on there that you'd like to be appointed to a particular committee. So the incoming bar president-elect can see that you've applied to be on a committee. That's important. The other thing, if you lost your bar card, like Jamie said, you can print out a new one. A lot of times people are like, no, I want the plastic one. That's fine. You can't get that through the portal, but you can print out a new bar card. You can get a certificate of good standing in there. And this comes up a lot when you're applying. Maybe you took the bar exam in a different state and they're going to ask you for your certificate of good standing. That's in there. All kinds of notices from the bar pop up in there. And if you can't get in, like she said, you can call membership records if you're having trouble getting in. You can also call the service desk here, which is 850-561-5820. That is for members to assist you with the technical issues of getting into the portal. Okay, Autumn, tell us about the Legal Specialization and Education Department.
Absolutely. This is a big one. LSE is one of the biggest departments that we have, and they cover so many different areas. So it's legal specialization and education, and that can be broken down into 2 distinct categories, and that's your specialization and your education. Specialization refers to board certification. Now, we recently did a very informative podcast called Board Certification, Elevating Your Firm and You, with Board Certification Civil Trial Chair Lisa McNellis. So be sure to check that out if you haven't already. And basically, board certification, it's attorneys in the state of Florida who have been practicing for at least 5 years can look into becoming board certified in one of the 27 available practice areas that range from elder law, juvenile, civil trial, criminal trial, health, and everything in between. Each area has a certification specialist here at the bar in that department that you are welcome to call or email if you have any questions regarding the certification process, which boils down to an application, substantial involvement, peer review, and a big exam. Once you pass the exam, you are certified for 5 years, at which point you'll go through recertification.
And so are they also having to submit to that department the extra CLE classes that are part of that?
Yes, yes, yes. So okay. Each certification area does come with its own CLE requirement where you have to have a certain amount of CLEs that focus in on that specific area that you want to be certified
in. Is that
on
top of the 30 or can they count?
That is included in that 30.
Okay.
Yes. So there are some, I think, that you need 50 in a specific area. There's one that needs 75, and that does count towards your 30 general for your regular CLE cycle. So that's very helpful. Leading into that, the education portion does refer to everyone's favorite, which is CLEs or your continuing legal education requirement. Now, the staff in the LSE department can help answer questions regarding your CLE or your basic skill cycles, such as letting you know when your cycle is due, how many more credits you need to satisfy your cycle, where you can find courses, and how you can post the courses you've already taken. Now, Christine, you did touch on the member portal. There are other states that also have their own course numbers, but you can only post Florida Bar specific course numbers right in your member portal. And you're going to know what these are because they are either 4 digits, 1, 2, 3, 4, or they're 7 digits and they end in the letter N. And you can post those to your member portal on your own, or you can contact LSE and they'd be happy to help post them for you. Either one works. This is also who you'll want to contact if you are looking for an application for credit, how to post them, if you are looking for petitions to remove any kind of CLE or basic skill delinquency, or to see if you're eligible for deferment or an exemption from either one of the cycles.
And I feel like we're going to run out of codes for the CLEs. There's so many that get cranked out every year. Do you think they're going to go to a longer number, or was there?
That is actually a really good question. I'm not quite sure, just because there have been so many, they may end up recycling numbers eventually at one point. Mm-hmm. But that is a very good question for LSE. I'm not quite sure how they're going to do that. they're in the nines already with those four digits. Right. So we'll see what they come up with. And then also included in the education section is course approval. So this is the department that you're going to want to contact if you are looking to put on a course that's approved for Florida Bar CLE credit. And that means that the course has been approved by the staff at the Florida Bar and has a Florida Bar approved course number. They'll also be able to tell you what kind of information you'll need to provide in order to have your course be approved, along with the steps for the process and what kind of timeline you're looking at for approval.
I just want to add something that I'm thinking about, because members will call and say, hey, there's like this CLE package. You know, it has all 30 credits, everything I need. Is this a, you know, a legitimate course? And I always tell them, call a LSE just to be
Absolutely, on the safe side. Just to make sure.
They can just give them the title of the course or the number, and somebody can pull that up and just verify.
Absolutely. They have a very helpful database that lists every CLE that the Florida Bar approves or even has approved in the past. Mm-hmm. And they have had some issues where members have gotten emails saying, oh, travel to this place. This is a free CLE. You'll get all this credit. And we'll get, I'm not there anymore. I used to work there. I'm not there. And so the LSE department will double check that. They can look up the course, make sure that it was approved, that it's a legitimate thing. And so that's also very helpful as well.
And those packages are really expensive a lot of times. Yes. I'm surprised when people call in and they're angry because they're having trouble getting credit for it. And I always think, why didn't you just use our free CLEs on legalfield.com?
Is that a thing? Honestly. Has there, I mean, I'm sure there's been some fake stuff put out there, right?
It has happened.
That people have purchased. So I always tell everyone, just call. Be on the safe side.
Absolutely. Right? And even if it's not a scam, there's vendors that don't realize that they have to renew that number. So it's expired and they're just still given the course under an old number.
Yes, absolutely. And if you call LSE and that course is expired, they can reach out to the provider and be like, hey, we have people asking about this course and it's expired. Do you want to renew? What do we need to do here? So they can absolutely reach out and make sure that everything is as it should be.
Okay. Very good.
Let's talk about some of the free or discounted services that are available to members. Jamie, can you tell us about VLEX FastCase and NOTA Trust Accounting?
Of course. So the VLEX FastCase, that's our free legal research, and that can be accessed through the member portal. So if you haven't gotten into that program, I believe you need to, you know, probably, I'm not sure if you need to create a username or password. Are you aware?
Yeah, okay. You do set something up. But I always, this is my little caveat. I think people, when we say free, they think it's like low quality. The Florida Bar is paying a lot of money for this legal research. It's just a benefit that you're getting. So it's free to the members, not free to the bar.
Right. And there are different like subscription levels too. So just be aware of that. Right. So when you log in, you know, there might be different categories that you can select just depending on what type of research you need to do. Now, I have talked to members and they tell me that the free one is more than enough. It gives them everything they need.
If it's asking you for your credit card number, you've probably ventured into an area you don't need.
Exactly. So yeah, I did want to point that out because I have spoken to people that are like, this is supposed to be free, but it's, you know.
It charged me.
And, right. Yeah. It's asking me for all of this additional, you know, payment information. So just, you know, look out for that. But the free version, I've been told, is fantastic. So definitely check that out. And again, log into the Florida Bar member portal. It's on the left-hand side. There's a little section where it's titled External Links. So look for that. And then right under that is the FastCase, the VLEX FastCase link.
Oh, and I'm going to throw this in because as we're recording this, you know, Clio bought VLEX. They're going to rebrand it. So don't be confused. We've been told it will be the same high-quality product, but it'll probably have a new name.
Clio Library.
Yes.
So look for that. But once you're in there, you know, there's a search bar at the top that you can navigate. There are ways to get back to the old FastCase as of now. But there's a user icon in the upper right-hand corner. So if you click on that, I believe it even has the member's name. So if you click on that, it'll give you a drop-down menu. And at the bottom of the menu, it'll say return to FastCase. That's the old platform. That's what a lot of people are looking for right now. But give the new one a try. Just, you know, try it out. So that's VLEX FastCase. Now, if you call us and ask, you know, I'm having just issues with searching or specific things with your your user experience, you could, I guess you could say, we can't help you with that. We would direct you to reach out to the BLEX fast case support number. But you can find that on floridabar.org. If you go to the members section and hover over that, it'll give you a drop down and you can, you know, you can find the customer service support number for that. And then NOTA Trust Accounting, another fantastic free benefit available to all of our members. Personally, Christine and I, we were given demo accounts when that first came out. So we got a hands-on experience using that. It was very user-friendly. And
it is. And again, not free to the bar, just free to members. We're right. paying NOTA. It's through M&T Bank. You don't have to use M&T Bank as your bank. You can if you want to, because then it feeds all of your transactions into the software if you want that. The Florida Bar cannot see in this program. We yes. don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, no, we're not. We're not peeking in.
When we were setting it up, NOTA tweaked it because we wanted a lot of requirements that were Florida Bar rules about trust accounting to make it easier for you to be compliant when you use it. That's the only input we had on this. We do not see your account.
Right, exactly. Especially when you're doing your three-way reconciliation process. It has all the reports in there for you. And yes, as Christine mentioned, it is connected to M&T Bank. You do not have to use M&T Bank. You can use your bank. And what's great about the NOTA platform is that it uses the Plaid interface, so it can tie into, they have pretty lengthy list of banks that it works with, but the way it works is that it's tied into, it can tie into your bank account and it can just move those transactions over just immediately.
Saves you a lot of time instead yes. of manually entering them.
But you can do that if you mm-hmm. if you don't Absolutely. If you don't want to connect it to your bank, you don't have to. You can certainly go ahead and enter it in manually and then go back in and tag all of those different transactions to the correct matter. But again, very, very user-friendly. The folks at NOTA are great to work with. We interact with them a lot on just, you know, CLEs and things like that. So, you know, just check it out and schedule a free demo. You know, you don't have to obligate yourself to that. But we tell everyone that with any of the member benefit, especially the practice management software, do a demo, you know, and sit with your staff that may be using it too. Make sure you like the way, you know, it works and the look of it. So anyhow.
It's going to save you a lot of time. It's also going to keep you out of the discipline process because
yes.
if you are using software that is prompting you to do what you're supposed to be doing, monthly three-way reconciliations, keeping track of every single transaction, those are the, you know, the bar rules. If you're trying to just do your trust accounting in QuickBooks, that's it. I know people do that. It's a workaround. It's not set up for attorneys and law firms. But the people that I'm most afraid for are the ones that are, I don't know if they have a paper checkbook register, but they're not compliant probably. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, we do have Excel spreadsheets that some people use that are just allergic to anything digital, electronic. But you have to be pretty faithful to be keeping compliant using anything like that. So like Jamie's telling you, this is something it's going to save you money, but it's also going to keep you safe.
Yes. And plenty of, I wanted to add, just alert functions that are added in into that. So I know you can set up whatever level of alerts you want to get. But, you know, if you have, you know, a new transaction that comes in, it'll send an alert to you and let you know. So you can literally just every day keep up with your trust account.
Which is going to protect you from some fraud.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know exactly what's happening. And I would rather do that myself personally than waiting until, you know, it's a ton to work with. Christine was a law firm administrator.
Yes, I love trust accounting. Yeah. I love call me and I will talk to you about trust accounting all
yes.
day. But I'm going to throw out, because this is something that's been around for years. So many people don't know about it. Tell your bank to turn on positive pay. This is so many fraudulent checks are out there, and it's amazing how advanced the scams have gotten. If you turn on positive pay, you're going to have to. You'll look. Your bank will, you know, say, was this you? And you will go in and release those checks. For the firms that have been hit, they're so grateful to have this, but it's just a really good proactive thing to do to turn on positive pay. And I think some banks call it different things, but you can, they'll know what you're talking about.
Yes. It might function differently at different banks, but it's generally the same process. So yeah, two great options to look at.
And if you're interested in hearing more about VLEX Fast Case and Nota Trust Accounting, be sure to tune into next month's podcast, where we'll be talking with our marketing director and we'll be able to go a little more in depth with those.
Right. So we're going to switch gears here again and just talk about some of the other things that are offered to, you know, members, if you're not aware, and something we encourage you to do is to get involved. So one way to do that is to join a section. There's 22 sections that you can become involved with, and they offer just networking opportunities, CLEs, events, all sorts of things. So Autumn, can you just share some reasons why a member would want to join a section? I mean, I kind of touched on it a little bit, but maybe you could just elaborate.
Absolutely. Networking is going to be that biggest one. That is the biggest advantage to joining a section. It allows you to get involved. You can meet other lawyers in a group that you're interested in. You can ask them questions, share your own knowledge and expertise, and really be a part of a community. You can also receive access to information and trends that are going on in that section, as well as leadership opportunities, which can be very helpful. And then, as you mentioned, the different sections each have their own events, their own CLEs, which can be free or discounted, and their own websites with all of their information. Each section also has a Florida Bar employee that helps as an administrator and can help answer your questions. And all in all, it's just a great way to engage with other like-minded attorneys.
And they do some really cool trips.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So yeah, if you want to go somewhere exciting and get CLE while you're there and hang out with people that are in your practice area, that's the place to be. There's, like you said, leadership, the sections really get involved. I think they even do they do some lobbying for different, because obviously the state of Florida law changes. They are involved in that, so they stay on top of it. So you're going to be up to date. If you go to their websites, there's all kinds of information about each section.
Yeah. No, I think the networking piece is key, because just personally, when I've talked to some members, you know, especially if you're a solo, you know, you're by yourself. It's just nice to have like that community of support. It's kind of like moms, you know, you go and you make a community of mom support, because it's great to have that. I mean,
And the flip side is, when you have conflicts or another firm that practices in the same area, instead of seeing them as competition, you could see them as a referral source. So like, I can't help this person because I'm already representing their spouse, but I'm going to say, hey, you know,
right,
here is someone I know that does good work here in town. And then, you know, the flip side of that you could get business because someone knows you and trusts you. That's the best kind of marketing you can do. Yeah. If you come to annual convention, every section has a really cool, they'll do parties first. So you will meet, say you don't know anyone that's practicing the area that you practice in, come to annual convention, go to your section's reception, and everybody there, plus some bar employees usually, will be there, so you can meet like-minded people.
Absolutely. Eat good food, have some good drinks, and just enjoy conversation with people who are interested in the same things you are.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to switch gears to another very important department that you're going to want to keep on speed dial, and that's our ethics and advertising department. I know we in the practice resource very often get questions that we send up that way. You can contact them. They're at 800-235-8619. It's important to note that no one at the Florida Bar can provide legal advice, but the ethics hotline can help members understand the rules regulating the Florida Bar. Jamie, what types of questions should be directed to ethics and advertising?
Well, exactly what you just mentioned, anything related to Florida Bar rules, because we, you know, if we do have members, especially like trust accounting, they're reading through. And I feel like I've read through that so much. And I know, Christine, it's like, you know, after a while, you can get all those pieces together. But sometimes you're reading it and you're like, I'm not really sure about this. What do they mean? That call might get filtered to our department, so we kick it up to ethics. So they can pull those rules up and help interpret. That's the key. Interpret the rules for you. They also have ethics opinions. So if you have a situation, I call them hypotheticals. Well, you know, if this happens, what about this? How will that impact me? Will that affect me?
Will I be in trouble if I do this?
Right. Will I be in trouble? Yeah. You know, am I going to run afoul of the rules? That is absolutely ethics wheelhouse. They can help you, you know, kind of work through that, think about that. Again, they cannot provide any legal advice. No one here at bar employees cannot provide any legal advice. So just keep that in mind. We have a whole separate other program that can assist with that, and we'll talk about that more later. But that, in general, is the role of the ethics hotline. And I say in our department, we can help with the procedural part of trust accounting. But again, if it's something just... I don't know, Christine, do you have a hypothetical situation
This is how I describe it. And Elizabeth Tarbert used to be the head of ethics, and now she's with Lawyer Reg. So a long time ago, she and I, we did a live CLE together, and then we recorded a CLE. And it's because she will tell you what the rules are, and she can interpret the rules for you. I can tell you what it looks like in practice inside your firm. And so we did that in tandem so people understood one, the differences between our department, but two, you know, how we work hand in hand with them. Every one of us has memorized this phone number because we give it out so often. So we absolutely will tell you, you know, they're like, well, where do I debit this? Where do I notate this and stuff? We're going to help you with all of that. We're going to give you so many tips about your trust account, but we are not going to talk about the gray areas. That's when we will immediately send you up to ethics. If you're giving us a hypothetical or it's getting very gray, we can't give you an opinion on the rules. So you're going to talk to ethics. But Jamie, can you talk a little bit about the advertising section, what they do? Because those same attorneys, while they're interpreting the rules, are also the ones that you're going to submit advertisements for.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So yes, they have it's all combined in one department, but they handle the advertising. So if you're, you know, a new attorney and I don't know, you're putting together maybe your letterhead or you're bringing someone in that's like an of counsel, you're not sure how to list that on your letterhead, they can help you with that. Billboard signage, if you have website questions, but they have a great advertising handbook that you can reference in it, and it talks about all of the things you should consider, including social media posts, all of that. I mean, really anything that you're just putting out digitally, they're there to help. They do have or just print ads. The only thing that you don't need to run through advertising is called the tombstone ad, which is really basically what it says. It's like your name and your phone number and, you know, maybe
where you are, your
address. I practice
facts, just hard,
family
cold
law
facts.
Or something like that. Yeah.
But this is an area that can get attorneys in trouble because when you see those billboards, and there are billboards out there that are not compliant, but, you know, someone will report it and call it in or something because
for a fictitious name.
Yes. But like every person on a billboard holding a giant check with a doctor in a white coat behind them and a whole bunch of people that supposedly work at the law firm, you can get yourself in trouble here. So, and there's a low fee for them to review your advertisement. And if they determine that it's fine and it didn't need to go through their process, they actually give you back your money.
Right.
So they're very upstanding.
Yes, definitely. And I believe there's ways to submit that through their email. So you can just, you know, go to floridabar.org and you can just put in the search bar, you know, ethics and advertising, and it will pull up a whole web page. But it has just links to, you know, the opinions, rules specific to them, the handbook, and just a lot of really helpful information, just FAQs, all sorts of things.
We hand out their ethics informational packets left and right, and you can find those on the Florida Bar website. If you're on the main page and you go, it says, I think it says rules and ethics at the top. And when you click that, there's going to be three rectangular boxes. One is just all the rules just listed out. One says ethics. And when you get there, if you scroll down, you'll see those ethics informational handbooks. And it's like, everything just compressed the essence of what you need to know about those particular topics with examples.
Yes, the packets are fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are not aware of that.
And they update those regularly.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Okay. All right. Now we're going to talk about a department that a lot of people don't know anything about. It's the unlicensed practice of law, which is kind of off-putting. I mean, it is that if people are out there pretending to be attorneys, there it is, which it sounds like there. So this comes up a lot. There's a lot of immigration, I don't want to say attorneys, they present themselves as immigration law firms, you know, and it turns out that they've taken people's money and they're not really attorneys. So this gets reported to UPL, but there's so many other things. So Jamie, some of the people that call in and we say, oh yes, that's our unlicensed practice of law, that they want to object to that. So let's go in a little bit of depth of what the other things are that UPL does and why we're directing callers to them.
Okay. So it's definitely what you touched on. Yeah. And that it's just essentially, as Christine mentioned, non-lawyers giving legal advice. And that could include paralegals as well.
Yes, absolutely. Disbarred lawyers.
Right. Disbarred lawyers. So, and this could be members of the public or, you know, members that have concerns too. Maybe they're calling to report something or have questions, but a lot of times it could be just members of the public calling and saying, hey, I, you know, was speaking to this person. I thought they were an attorney. They're not. Or they're advertising themselves as such. So in that event, we direct them to UPL, also known as the Unlicensed Practice of Law Department. And typically we would get them to our headquarters office here, and then they can, you know, help disperse them to the branch offices as needed. But this also includes attorneys that are out of state, and maybe they're working on a case here in Florida. They're not sure, you know, maybe they've been assigned. They're not sure how that would work. So that department can help with that, you know, just like pro hoc vice questions. There's an application process, all of that sort of thing they can help with. Also, authorized house counsel questions. Am I missing anything, Christine? I mean, that's the core of it.
Yeah. There are more things they do, but like you mentioned, like the paralegals, because there's very specific rules about what can happen there, and law firms that have hired disbarred attorneys as paralegals, it gets real.
There's a lot that goes with
that
because you
trouble.
Have to do, I think, certain reporting if you've hired someone.
And they can't meet face to face with your clients. There's all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But all of those out of state people and the, like you're talking about, don't love that we're sending them to unlicensed practice of law. And we just mean you're not licensed in Florida.
Right. Yeah. So, it is a little, the title can be a little jarring.
Yeah.
It
but they do a great job.
They do.
It's a very good department. And, so if we're referring you to that, know that it just means that you are not a licensed Florida Bar attorney and UPL can help you.
Yes.
And now let's talk about the Practice Resource Center and all the free CLEs, podcasts, checklists, and document templates that we have available.
Okay. Of course, this is our favorite topic. And some people get confused because I'm just going to lay this all out there. We are a department of Florida Bar. We're the Practice Resource Center. We have a website called legalfuel.com. A lot of people think that is a vendor, something outside the bar. That's us. It's just us. And it's such a wealth of resource for members. So like some of the things you mentioned, it's the place to go for free CLEs. We're adding them every month. New CLEs are going to show up there. We can help you do all of the things that you need to know to successfully run the business side of your practice. And we're kind of the only people at the bar that are going to help you do that. We, like we said, trust accounting, legal technology is a big one. We, someone from our office goes up to Tech Show in Chicago every year. So we have relationships with these legal technology vendors. So we know what they're doing, what's coming out. And we're the ones that we sit in with member benefits. So when somebody wants to be a Florida Bar member benefit, we watch the pitches to see what their products are. So we're fairly knowledgeable about what's going on in legal technology world. And then the two of you have been amazing with all of the checklists and packets. So can you talk about, Jamie, talk about some of that. You're the checklist queen. And now Autumn's been bringing us a lot of packets from about different departments and things. So Jamie, talk about some of the things you've added.
Yes. So I do love checklists and I love just resource documents because I'm personally a visual person, and I think a lot of people can appreciate just actually looking at something. So the trust accounting checklists have been a hit. I didn't realize they would be, but we have a new trust account checklist as well as a trust account closure checklist. So the closure one is very small, but still, it's just nice. You can print it out. You can go through, make sure you've done everything you need to do if you're wrapping up your practice or moving your trust account from one bank to another, let's say, that can help you out. And likewise, the new trust account checklist runs through all of the things that you need to think about because there are, several different forms that you need to bring with you to the bank. And
these are requirements.
Yes, requirements and things that you need to do with funding Florida Legal Aid, which is the entity that, you know, sweeps the interest on the trust accounts each month. So just that sort of thing, those are wonderful to have. Also, if you're starting your own practice, maybe you are working with, you know, a big law firm and you want to go out there on your own, we have a checklist for that.
It's very comprehensive.
Yes, it's excellent. I didn't create that. That was before my time.
It's an oldie but a goodie.
It is. We also have one if you're retiring, you're wrapping up your practice. Maybe you're, you know, taking a job with the government. You don't need all of that. So it's just an outline of how to wind down and get things, you know, wrapped up and cleaned up before you move on. Some of our other guides that, you know, we have available include a succession planning guide. So that was a question that we would get a lot, but we have that as a resource that's very involved. By the way, we have another podcast for that that you can listen to that's fantastic. Just a records and retention guide, and we have a practice management software guide. So there's just a lot of things that just different pieces, you know, as you're getting your practice started, or maybe you've been doing it for a few years and you're like, hey, I need to go back and think about that. We have a lot of great things for that. So definitely check that out. It's on legalfuel.com, which, as Christine mentioned, that is our department's website. So we feel pretty lucky we have our own website, and we try to put a lot of resources on there for you. But once you go to legalfuel.com, click the document library section at the top, and that will pull that whole page up for you. And there's templates and forms. Now, they're generic practice management. It's not practice area specific.
Right.
So just keep that in mind. But those are Word documents. So you can download those to your computer, customize those, add your letterhead, tweak them as you need them. And then again, you can find all of the other checklists and resource materials.
And there's so many things in the document library that Jamie recently sorted it more so that you're not going to be so overwhelmed. One of the ones in there, it's actually a folder of things called lawyer changing firms. That's really important. A lot of people don't realize you can't just give notice, leave, start up again. There are rules, and you can get yourself in trouble because you were supposed to notify every current client. You were supposed to negotiate the letter with your current firm. If you are a firm and one of your partners retire, change of composition is a lawyer leaving a firm, changing firms. So you've got to look through those, and we have everything you need there. You're not going to have to hunt it down any farther. It will tell you exactly what you need to do. Autumn, I know you've added two this
year. I've added three.
Ooh.
I know. So while Jamie is more of the checklist type of person, I'm more of the what is this, what does it mean, what do I do kind of situation of a person. So I've done three. One is kind of, it's membership records related. It's inactive versus retirement. If you're wanting to kind of end your relationship with the bar, you're ready to be done, there's two options. You can go inactive versus retirement, and my guide on Legal Fuel will tell you what the difference is, what the requirements are, and there's links to all of the petitions and all of the good information there. I've done one on board certification, which is very helpful, I think, if you have questions about what that process looks like, what you'll need for the application, when the exams are, all of the different areas, all of that good information there. And then I've also done one on CLEs, which I think is really helpful because it really breaks down the difference between continuing legal education and the basic skills course requirement.
Oh, yeah. We get so many questions about
that. So many questions. And I know LSE does as well, because everybody knows about CLEs. Not too many people understand what the basic skills are.
Because once you did it as a new attorney, you forget it.
Exactly. Yeah. And once it's done, it's done. Whereas right. CLEs are cyclical. But for incoming attorneys, they've heard from other attorneys about CLEs, but then they go delinquent on basic skills and they're like, what is this? So that guide really breaks down the requirements. There's a million links to find the specific courses that you need, any petitions that you would need to fill out, any applications for course credit that you would need to fill out as well. So all of those are on legalfuel.com in the document library, and they're there to help you if you have any questions.
And something you said made me think of this. A lot of people don't realize that they've gone delinquent because they missed the date and they didn't do all of their CLE credits, because 3 years is a long time.
Absolutely.
You're like, I think I did a lot of courses. And they don't realize when that happens, it's on your public profile.
Yes.
You're not allowed to be practicing law. So again, we're trying to help you stay out of trouble. So if you realize you're at the end of your reporting period and you're like, how am I going to get all these classes? We have you. We've got it at legalfuel.com.
Absolutely. And it's very important to have your email address updated with your bar profile
because
LSE sends a million reminders. They will remind you at 6 months, 3 months, 2 months, 1 month, 2 weeks, 30 days, all of that. So make sure that you are receiving those emails just to let you know, like, hey, this is coming up and this needs to be done. Otherwise,
bad you can't say, well, I didn't know because they
have the receipts.
Tried to tell you.
They have the receipts for sure.
Okay. So we mentioned before that there is nobody at the Florida Bar that is going to give you legal advice or tell you what to do in your case. That is not the role of the Florida Bar. But we do have a program for new attorneys or attorneys that have gone into a new practice area. And Jamie's going to tell us a little bit about Lawyers Advising Lawyers.
Okay. Yep. So Lawyers Advising Lawyers, it is a program which was created by the Young Lawyers Division way back. I'm not exactly sure how old it is, but it has been around for a long time. I believe it was called Scope at one time and then rebranded to Lawyers Advising Lawyers. So essentially, it's comprised of Florida Bar members who have volunteered to be on, I guess you could say, like a panel. They sign up for different, not really a panel, but like a just a volunteer group. They've signed up in their various practice areas that they're willing to provide help and advice in. So as Christine mentioned, if you call and you have a specific legal advice type of question, we can't help you, but we can direct you to this program. So you can access it through the member portal. Again, it's on the left-hand side. There's two links. One of them is you have to just look at the wording because it's either you become an advisor, which we would love for you to become an advisor. But if you're just looking for help with your question, make sure you click the one. I think it's just request advice or something. But I have had people tell me that they've accidentally clicked on becoming an advisor. So just look at that. Anyhow, you can access it through the portal. We also have a webpage for it, lawyersadvisinglawyers.com. The same thing, but it just gives you more information. If you want to read more about the program, you can click a button at the top, request advice now, and it will just reroute you back to the member portal. So it gets you where you need to go either way. Once you're in and you've clicked on the request advice now button, it'll pull up a one-page submission form. Of course, you've got to log into your portal, but it'll pull up a one-page submission form and it just lists out the various practice areas. So it's you don't have to type in like a description of your issue or put your question or anything like that. You're just selecting the practice area. You can only select one. And also, too, this is important, you can only submit one request every 60 days. So make sure you're narrowing it down to the practice area that you believe is the help that you're needing. So because once you submit that, if you try to submit another one immediately after, it will put up an alert box and let you know, hey, you can only do this every 60 days. So just keep that in mind. Typically, it'll match you with two advisors. An email is automatically sent to the email that we have on file for you here at the Florida Bar. So make sure that is up to date. And it will list the advisor's, of course, name, their phone number, their email. And likewise, each advisor will receive an email with your information letting them know, hey, this person has requested advice. So at that point, I mean, I tell people, go ahead and reach out to them if you'd want to. You don't have to wait for them to call you, although our advisors are fantastic. I see the emails. They'll say, hey, give me a call here. Here's my number. But you can call them and just let them know I've submitted this request. And that's really it. But it's meant just to be a quick advisory session. It's not
a mentoring.
It's not mentoring, or it's not like, hey, I want to try out this practice area. I have no idea, and I'm going to have someone walk me through.
It's you are in a case. You've gotten to a point where something's happened, and you don't know your next move, or you don't know what to file. It's a one and done. Help me out.
Right. It's very quick. It's meant to be a very quick thing.
Because these are volunteers that are.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And this is important too. The members must do the submission request on their own. We can no longer do that. We were able to do that one time, but we have now the members doing it just because we want them to make sure that they are selecting the practice area that they need. So just keep those bits of information in mind. But
another reason to make sure you're able to log into your member portal.
Yeah, exactly. But it is another wonderful, you know, free benefit. I know a Absolutely. Lot of other bars don't offer anything like that. So it is super helpful. But that's lawyers advising lawyers in a nutshell. So, Christine, let's touch on the lawyer referral service, which is housed under our department.
Right. I was about to say that, like, as we're talking about these different departments, I think we should point out that some of the things that we're mentioning are us.
Yes.
Lawyers advising lawyers, the lawyer referral service, the Florida Bar Career Center. So we oversee those programs. So if you have questions about them, we are still the department to contact. Okay. I love the lawyer referral service. It has been around, I think, since like 1974 or something, but it's changed a lot. So it's a little more high tech now. We've made some changes. It is the best marketing you can do. If you need more business, more clients, more people calling, sign up for the lawyer referral service. It used to cost $125 per year per attorney. We waived that a couple years ago, so it doesn't cost you anything. You can specify, you know, exactly the type of practice area that you want to get calls in. It breaks it down so that you're, you know, if you do landlord-tenant, but you only want to represent landlords, those kind of things, you can set all of that up. So we try to reduce the number of calls that our panel members are getting that are areas they don't practice in. But the important thing is, we have 8 part-time LRS clerks answering the phone. Last year, they made 65,000 referrals for members of the public. And the way it's set up, if you are on the panel, you agree that you will give a 30-minute consultation for no more than $25. And at that point, you know, if you are able to take the case, you can then charge your regular fees after that, discuss that with the potential client. They pay that directly to you. So there's no, you're not paying us to be on the panel. The public is not paying us for these referrals. If that person hires you and you take in a fee after the initial consultation, you would remit a 12% referral fee to the Florida Bar. The people that are on the panel really enjoy it. We are signing up new people every month, but it's just a really, really nice way if you want to increase your business. So if you want to know more about that, you can go to floridabar.org/LRS. You can apply online. It's very simple. You fill out the online application. We do a quick discipline history check, and then we can turn on referrals for you. Okay. Autumn, where can members who are looking for a new job find available positions all over the state?
You just touched on it briefly. It's the Florida Bar Career Center. This is for anybody in the state of Florida who's looking for a position in the legal field. Correct me if I'm wrong, but not just attorneys, but Correct. Also paralegals, legal secretaries, all of that good stuff.
Administrators. Mm-hmm.
Everything. So you can post your resume for prospective employees. You can type in specific keywords for specific positions that you're looking for or specific locations, or you can just search through all throughout Florida. Prospective employees can also post positions that they are trying to hire for on there as well. And then you can also check out the Interactive Career Benchmark Dashboard, where you can view survey responses from individuals like you regarding what they look for in a position and what matters most to them.
Yeah, and that, I love that. It's very interactive. So you can go in, if you go to the Career Center, we're going to have links for all of these. But if you go to the dashboard, you can say, okay, I practice in this area. I have this many years of experience. I'm thinking about relocating to Tampa. What's the average salary there? And they even have some more things talking about the cost of living in those areas. So like, it really helps you plan out in a realistic way what to expect if you're thinking about changing jobs. It is the largest database of legal positions in the state. So it's a good place to look. If you are looking as a applicant, there's no charge to you. And there's a lot of other resources in there.
Perfect. Jamie, you touched earlier on Felix Fastcase and NOTA, which are some of our member benefits. Where can members find the complete list of member benefits? And can you tell us about a few more?
Yes. Okay. So I mentioned this earlier, but if you go to floridabar.org, at the top, there's different headers. you'll see like about the bar and, you know, all of that sort of thing, like members. And I think one is like public, but if you hover over the members section, it'll give you a drop down. And I believe it's maybe the second or third link down, but it is titled benefits, you know, member benefits. So if you click on that, it'll pull up the full listing of all the member benefits. And we have over 70, I mean, and new ones are added all the time. And there's a ton of fantastic benefits, not just practice management software, which is something that always comes up, but I don't know if people are aware that you can get discounts on FedEx and Office Depot, UPS. There's also some for travel. So for, you know, Avis, Budget, Alamo, I believe. So check that out. A lot of great offerings for that, as well as, you know, student loan. If you have a student loan and you're looking to do a refinance, we have a member benefit for that. So I just wanted to touch on some of the lesser known talked about benefits, because we are always bringing up, you know, just the practice management software, which is fantastic too. But if you're in the market for that, check that out. Again, just a lot of
Get a discount if you're so.
Yeah.
And if you are with a current practice management software program that is a member benefit, we've been told that they will still honor that if you weren't aware that you could be getting a discount.
Or at least, yeah, give them a call and let them know. So, yeah, again, a ton of great offerings there. If you need health insurance, we have Member Benefits, Inc. It's always confused that yeah. We are running that. It's just the name of the
company.
Yeah, yes. Completely yes. Separate. But again, you know, take a look, and I'm sure there's, you know, something that you weren't aware of or something that can help you. Certainly, I mean, UPS, FedEx, everyone's, you know, using those. So take a look.
And finally, I mentioned it earlier, but I want to talk about my favorite, amazing, and free Florida Bar member benefit. It's the Florida Lawyers Helpline. We've had this since 2020, but not enough people are aware of it. You can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and speak to a mental health professional. You can also get 5 free therapy sessions in person in your city or virtually each calendar year at no cost to you. And I said this before, the bar does not know who is using this service. It's so important. If you go to our website, legalfuel.com, you'll see that we have this information on there, but I'm going to give you the number. It's 833-351-9355 or 833-FL1-WELL, W-E-L-L. More members are finding out about it. It's also a good thing if you have a coworker that's struggling and you don't know what to say. We have business cards. You can reach out to me. I always carry some of those with me. It's a real simple way to just say, hey, there's someone here that can, you know, help you. But a lot of people are getting more open about it. I like that the stigma is going away. So I have members that have come up to me at annual convention and said, oh, I'm an attorney married to an attorney. So we get 10 free couples counseling sessions every year. So please take advantage of that. The bar is paying for it. It is high quality. It's complete. We will not know that you are using it. It doesn't have to involve your insurance. Your employer will not know.
Well, it looks like we've reached the end of our program. We will post links and phone numbers for every item that we mentioned today below the episode on legalfuel.com.
If you like what you heard today, please rate us on Apple Podcasts and join us next time for another episode of the Florida Bar's Legal Fuel Podcast, brought to you by the Practice Resource Center of the Florida Bar. I'm Christine Bilbrey.
I'm Autumn Chadwell.
And I'm Jamie Moore. Until next time, thank you for listening.
If you'd like more information about today's show, please visit legalfuel.com. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to the Florida Bar's podcast via iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and RSS. Find the Florida Bar's Practice Resource Center, Legal Fuel, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own and do not represent the views of, nor are they endorsed by, the Florida Bar. None of the content should be considered legal advice. As always, consult a lawyer.
Are you looking to grow your practice? Consider joining the Florida Bar's Lawyer Referral Service. There's never been a better time to apply because we are currently waiving the $125 annual fee, so members who qualify can join the Florida Bar LRS for free. All panel members of the Florida Bar Lawyer Referral Service must be licensed in Florida, must be members in good standing, and must carry a minimum of $100,000 in professional liability insurance to participate. Panel members must also maintain an office physically located in one of the 52 Florida counties served by the Florida Bar Lawyer Referral Service. For more information and to apply, please go to floridabar.org/LRS.